Talking.
Two guys that talk sports, food, and, well, just about everything else.
Talk.
This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G, presented by WCF Insurance, reminding you to be careful out there. On 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
.97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard. Utah now just about 2 weeks away from getting their season started. Utah State will get underway coming up on Saturday in lovely Boise. No fans in the stands.
Used to be lovely.
Yeah. It's kind of like a mini Portland now.
It is. It is. I don't know. The leaders of Boise like went to Portland. They were like, you know what? We really like burning trash. Let's bring it here.
We like how weird you are as a city. What can we do to be like you?
Let's put a mandate. Tevas and socks and high-hiked shorts for everybody. If you come across the tree, hug it.
Oh, boy.
Boise has gotten really strange. Like, you go into Boise and it's like, this isn't Idaho.
I know.
Idaho is currently trying to come up with a way to separate from Boise.
I mean, you talk about Boise State. They want Boise to become its own state and just take a big little circle around the city.
Yeah.
Because the rest of Idaho is not Boise. Not by any.
No. Not even close.
And they might even give, like, northern Idaho, maybe give the panhandle to Oregon.
Is it becoming a little bit... Well, strange,
yeah.
Up there?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
Up north? Yeah, but that Coeur d'Alene area, man.
I know, you want to hold on to that.
It's about all Idaho's got right now.
It really is.
If you're talking about trying to get some tourists up there.
I mean, no tourist is going to Pocatello, but they would go to Coeur d'Alene.
But Boise's just gone bizarre. Yeah, so I know you're being facetious when you say, lovely Boise.
Yeah. Although the IQ level of that stadium increases without fans in the stands. Just throwing that out there.
At Scotty G Zone. Go ahead and send your messages to him.
So what I did was, like, I attacked Louisiana because, you know, it's all the way across the United States. And
yeah.
And then I just recently got after Texas State, you know, because they're –
all the way
2,000 miles there.
They're in San Marcos.
Yeah, they'll never hear from me. But you just really went after Boise. Wow, you really don't like Boise.
Yeah, just not their fans. All right, but Utah getting set to start the season. They are in the middle of camp. Nick Ford addressing the media earlier today as well. Here's his conversation on the thoughts of what – Camp Kyle looks like so far.
Nick, you obviously this offseason took a leadership role in a lot of things, whether it be the football team or standing up with the Pac-12 voices and different things like that. What do you feel like your role has been, and how do you think that's been able to help the football team this year?
I say it's been exactly that. Basically, just helping out any way that's possible, whether it be on or off the field, all the way from being just a leadership within the offensive line room or offering myself to anybody who's on the team, as well as, you know, just my brothers around the Pac-12 to make sure that they come out healthy from the season and, you know, we play with the least risk.
Next is Trevor Allen, followed by Josh Newman, Salt Lake Tribune.
Hey, Nick, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Doing good. I mean, obviously a lot of what has been talked about is the O-line and how deep and how strong it is. How are you guys looking in camp? And do you like being at tackle, or do you want to be more as a guard?
The O-line, like you said, is there's a lot of depth to it. Everyone who could play, everyone who's in the whatever 10 deep, 15 deep, 20 deep, we're all capable of playing. You look at guys like Jaron Kump, who just came in, and he's, you know, an excellent player, very strong and everything. And same thing with Bam Olufemi and Satao Lomea, and, you know, we have the familiar faces, me, Braden, Orlando, Semi. It's really exciting. And what was the second question?
you've been playing tackle from what it says on the depth chart. Do you like playing tackle or would you rather be playing guard?
I like playing on the field. I like hitting people. So I mean, it don't really matter where I'm at, just as long as I go ahead and get to hit somebody. I'm quick enough to be able to go outside, and I'm strong enough to be able to go inside. So wherever they want to put me, you know, feel bad for other guy.
Next is Josh Newman, followed by Dirk Facer of the Deseret News.
Hey, good morning, Nick. How are you?
Good morning. Good. You?
I'm well, thanks. Just to follow up on what Trevor said, you know, the level of versatility that you're bringing to the table, just in terms of, you know, you can play tackle, you can kick back inside. How difficult is it to have that level of versatility at this level of college football?
I wouldn't say it's necessarily something I focus on as difficult. It's been something I focused on since I was young, being able just to play whatever the coaches need for the team. And I mean, that's really just the moral of that story. It's just knowing when you got to switch your footwork a certain way and being able to understand the playbook to the point to where you know what everyone's doing on every single play. So, I mean, just as long as you know what you're doing when you're doing, you'll be all right.
Next is Dirk Facer, followed by Steve Bartle of Ute Zone.
Morning, Nick. How are you?
Good, you?
Good, thanks. Hey, let me ask you about the challenges of playing left tackle, the blind side. Talk about what a tough spot that is. And how is losing Darren? I mean, you only lost really one big key contributor, but how big of a void did he leave?
He left a big void, but at the same time, you know, I'm able to replace that. Just like a lot of people say, this program reloads. We don't really restock. So, I mean, you know, Darren was just one bullet in the chamber ahead of me. So, you know, next thing you know, I'm up. I don't really see it as pressure. I mean, it's just me playing out there. If you start seeing it as pressure and you start getting it in your head, you know, it's gonna be wind up being bad for you. So, you know, everyone saying, oh, what about this pressure, that pressure? It really doesn't bother me. I'm just playing football. I understand that it's the blind side and everything, but I mean, you know, this is a psychological game, but I know that my psychological and physical game is on par.
Hey, Nick, is that position, you played all the positions, but is that position vastly different than other offensive line positions?
I'd say a little bit. I mean, you got center, of course, snapping the ball, that's very different. The guards are slightly different, not really. And then it really gets different when you get out to the edges at tackle. A lot of footwork and fundamental changes and whatnot. I'd say the biggest difference is just the amount of people, you know, saying, oh, or do you feel pressured or do you feel, you know, whatever it is, just because you're that blindside guy. So it's just a lot more notoriety to be on the left side, but I feel like it's the exact same playing style as I did on the right. So I should be able to perform the same way I did against UW and BYU and be all right.
All right. Hey, Steve, have a good day. Thank you.
Thank you.
Steve Bartle, followed by Josh Furlong, KSLSports.com.
I want to ask you about your off season and what you focused on, you know, through all those months away from the program. What was your focus to improve and what did you do to get better this offseason?
So I've kind of focused in two different ways. I focus one as an individual, and then I focus as well as like a teammate and a leader. From, you know, a teammate and leader perspective, I made sure that all my guys, you know, were safe in the, you know, bad times and the, you know, pandemic that's happening around the world, you know, calling people, making sure they're all right, their family's all right. If they need anything, you know, just make myself available to them. And then as an individual, I say mainly just my hands and then just my knee bend. There's a couple times last year I had gotten in trouble for that, just playing a little too high or having my hands outside. So I did a lot of, you know, hand IQ stuff, and I'm really flexible, but just working on moving wall down and stuff. So my pad level and hand work has improved a lot.
Next, we'll go to Josh Furlong, followed by Josh Newman of the Salt Lake Tribune.
Nick, your group obviously brings back a ton of guys. There's a lot of depth there, a lot of experience. But what are you able to do as an offensive line, maybe more than other positions groups, to kind of allow that communication and that camaraderie to work so that you can work together in the season? And how does that work also with bringing in new quarterbacks and trying to get that relationship?
I say bring back everyone, and the camaraderie and stuff is, it's just fun. First off, you know, everyone knows how to work with each other, and it's a really easy time. We know how to joke. We don't want to take things serious. So, you know, it takes a lot of fun into it. And also, you know, from an educational standpoint, you know, we can all help each other and trust each other. And for the point of talking about quarterbacks, it's, I'm sure it's a confidence booster for them, knowing that, you know, they have an experienced offensive line in front of them. And, you know, sometimes in the huddle, you know, we got to say, tell not even just the quarterbacks, but the receivers and everything, like lock in and, you know, really focus on certain things, because the offensive line is taking it upon himself this year, because we have the most experience to just make sure that, you know, we're running the show, because the offensive line performed well last year. And, you know, we're going to perform to the same standards this year, and that, you know, we're going to make sure that our team is brought up to those standards.
Josh Newman followed by Trevor Allen of KSL.com.
Nick, you guys are in a position right now on campus where you're going through daily testing, strict medical protocols every day. How confident and optimistic have you felt kind of throughout that daily process that, you know, that things are safe and that the athletic department is really doing everything they can to keep you guys safe?
I feel really confident. I mean, just before this interview, I came up from getting tested. You know, they're making sure that we're all safe. If someone gets sick, you know, by all God, you know, pray to God that they don't. You know, they take the right procedures, and, you know, letting people know who got sick and saying, you know, we're working with the tracing department and a whole bunch of things. So they have a really good system to prevent people getting sick, from our social distancing and meetings to even in the cafeteria being handled a different way. Literally every single aspect of just being near the facility is different. So I know for a fact that, you know, if someone were to get sick, it's not from the facility, because they're taking so many precautions, whether it's, you know, desanitization or all the social distancing and then the testing. So, you know, I have full faith in the medical staff here in the athletic department that's, you know, in charge of everything.
Thanks, Nick.
Our last two will come from Trevor Allen, followed by Josh Furlong, KSLSports.com.
Nick, I wanted to get your thoughts on a guy last year who really came onto the scene, and that was Simi Mwala. He's a guy who came off of the D-line, coming straight over to the O-line, and really, you know, burst onto the scene at that right tackle spot. Just talk about his strides of what he made and how he was able to get that starting spot so quickly.
He made a lot of strides. You know, he's a real good man. It's probably one of my close friends. No, it is one of my close friends off the field. You know, at first it was difficult for him, you know, just never playing offensive line, not knowing terminology, footwork, anything. But he's a really determined individual. And so in the start of the season, really, you know, I tell him, even during the games, like tell him the calls and everything just for a tackle, because it was more he could do it from a physical standpoint, but he didn't have the intelligence of an offensive lineman standpoint yet. And throughout the season, his intelligence grew and grew and grew. And by, you know, halfway through the season, he started making his own calls. And then later in the season, you know, he started coming up to the line and making calls before I could give it to him. So, you know, it just shows that his character came through, and, you know, he persevered and learned what he had to learn. And yeah, he's a good partner to work with, and he wound up, you know, being very smart. Even now, me and him still do extra film study and everything, and he's gone from not knowing anything and me having to tell him everything to him questioning me things that are way more complicated, and we're having good conversation, and I have full faith of him on the field.
Our final question for Nick Ford will come from Josh Furlong.
Nick, not football related necessarily, but how important is it to you and the teammates to have the NCAA and Utah specifically working to kind of get out the vote and be in front of a lot of the social movements that have gone on over the summer?
Are you talking about like the march and everything like that?
Yeah, and then just trying to get all these athletes to make sure they're registered to vote.
And, you know, I think it's very important, especially not only for us, because we have a good platform where we can inspire and, you know, create. And that's really what football can be used for, is to inspire and create change. I think the most beneficial factor of that was, you know, making sure that everyone on every team was able to get out, vote, realize that they have a voice and realize they can do things and inspire change. And I think it's going to go a long way for even the younger generations because, you know, like me personally, I go and volunteer at a school and, you know, do a whole bunch of things outside of football. And now these kids are seeing me on a different platform. And it's not only for football, it's for something greater than that. And it may inspire them to grow up. And you never know, even though I may be doing something small right now, I might inspire the next MLK. So
there you go, Nick Ford, right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.
He has, you could look at him from his freshman year to this year, and you could say he's the most improved player, if not the most improved player I've seen come through the University of Utah.
Wow.
Yeah. Guy had a rough start and made a lot of mental errors and was not real technically sound. He was always strong as an ox, but where he was to where he is now, it is a complete turnaround. 180. Just incredible turnaround. And he's a really good offensive lineman. He should be a Pac-12 performer this year.
Think so, and boy, you can tell that he's very conscious of where he's at and what he can do and what he can do to help. And I know that there's a lot of issues that are very important to him, and I think he's very well spoken about those issues. And I think he's a great representative for the University of Utah players and players in the Pac-12 as to some of the things they're trying to get accomplished. And I think that he brings a good, reasonable voice to what's going on. And I appreciate that.
I also think Nick Ford's a next level player.
I was going to ask you that.
Yeah,
I think so.
I think he's strong enough, and he actually has some dog in him. You can hear when he talks; you can hear the dog in him.
Yeah,
you know he's and you've also seen his social media. He's got some dog in him. Now, as long as he doesn't let the outside world get to him, and doesn't listen too much. And just focuses on his craft and shuts, you know, loudmouths like me out and loudmouths like everybody else that likes to commentate and shuts out social media aspects and doesn't let people tell him how good he is or how bad he is and just keeps working on himself, he'll be good.
Yeah.
And I think that he'll be an NFL player. It's just really hard to dodge that nowadays. And I'm talking to more and more coaches and people about it. And players are taking it more and more personal now. They're starting to put away the social media a bit.
Smart.
They're starting to turn off the noise, and they're telling their parents and friends, hey, look, just let me focus on what I'm doing here. I'm doing everything I can to raise my athletes, my kids, all former athletes, to raise them to understand that. You got a bunch of loudmouths like me that are has-beens that talk about it, that wish they could go back and do it. Is that really who you want to listen to?
Yeah.
Or you want to listen to your coach who's trying to get you better? You want to listen to a scout that just told you that your hands aren't fast enough. You better work on your hands. Or told you getting 18 reps on 225 at the NFL Combine is not going to cut it, so you better get yourself stronger up top. Or are you going to listen to some social media, some fan tweets at you and says, man, that was such a great game, great block, you're the best that's ever come through. You better not pay attention to that crap.
Yeah.
You've got to stay focused in today's world. Even what we do, Scotty, we can't look at all these things coming at all directions. We have to stay true to who we are. We're entertainers.
Yeah.
You and I are small town boy entertainers that like to have some fun, talk sports, and shoot off a political tweet.
No. No, we don't. Those days are behind us. And somebody reached out and goes, so you got a big debate tomorrow. You're going to be live tweeting. I'm like, no, I'm not even going to watch it.
Yes, you are, and you are going to live tweet.
I'm not going to live tweet. I promise. No. Nope. I'm going to keep my mouth shut.
How many people got muted that night?
A significant amount.
Okay.
I think I lost like 50 followers that night, too.
Lloyd, have you followed him back yet or no?
Yeah, he just has to accept it.
All right, 11:31. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard. This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone. The good, the bad, the ugly coming up next.
Nothing else matters, fellas. Every day we go to work.
Football is back, and the Zone Sports Network has you covered. As the Cougars continue to bulldoze through their schedule and the Utes and Aggies get set for the start of their seasons.
You gotta go faster, faster.
Nobody will bring you better coverage of your team than the Zone Sports Network. This is your home of the best college football coverage in Utah.
Turn me up all day.
97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. It's time to saddle up and talk about the winners and the losers. This is the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, here's the good.
Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone, live at Tim Daly Infinity. Beautiful rides, 0% financing on a lot of these models. You're a better person if you're driving an Infinity. It's science. It's been proven. Your confidence goes up. You're more attractive to the opposite sex. Your kids respect you a little bit more. Your boss respects you a little bit more. Your income level jumps up considerably. Those are all just many of the reasons why you should come by and check out these Infinities.
Could you imagine when you were single, pulling up in front of an individual's home and her parents come out and see you driving one of these? The parents would walk back in the house and be like, you're marrying that man.
You're like, hey, she'll be out in just a second. They turn around like, hey, him? That's the guy.
That's the one.
He's kind of hideous. Doesn't matter. He drives an Infinity.
This relationship will last for infinity.
Hey-o.
I hate when I'm lame.
No, it was good. It was good.
I hate when I'm lame. I it's funny because it's gratifying at first. And I'm like, and then you're like, oh, I regret that.
It's not true at all.
I really regret that.
All right, let's get to it. Good, the bad, the ugly. Right here on the Zone Sports Network, of course, brought to you by Zero Res. Get 3 rooms of carpet cleaned for just $33 per room, and the 4th room is free. Call 801-288-9376.
Scotty, if you were Spanish and you called baseball games, I think I found the version.
Really?
Of Scotty G. Last night, Bellinger hits one out of the park. Here is the Spanish call of that moment.
Dominado en su primer turno, el envío. Bellinger la prende. Vuela la pelota. Vuela la pelota. ¡Baba y pelota! Le pago unas vacaciones a Doña Blanca por todo el derecho central. Su cuarto bambinazo de la postemporada. Get in my belly. Otra vez, Corey Bellinger.
¡Qué tremendo tablazo! Al escucharlo. Y al verlo, Cody Bellinger, seguramente, mira, ahora sí, tranquilito, con los pies, vamos a celebrar de una manera distinta, señores. El hombro, no quiero que me lo toquen. Muy bien.
Did he really just yell out in the middle of that, get in my belly?
Yes, he did. Get in my belly. But, that call is just, it's bold, it's meaty, it's beefy.
Get in my belly.
Yes. And the way he says, Cody Bellinger, it's just awesome, man. That's a good, you got to admit, that's a good Spanish call. Hey, Lloyd, will you play it just up to the point of him after he says, get in my belly, Cody Bellinger?
Wait, up to that point or after?
No, to that point. Yeah, just from the start to that point.
Dominado en su primer turno, el envío. Bellinger la prende. Vuela la pelota. Vuela la pelota. Le pago unas vacaciones a Doña Blanca por todo el derecho central. Su cuarto bambinazo de la postemporada. Get in my belly.
Great.
Yeah, that's good, man.
What
that's a good
the
call.
Hell just happened? He's way better than I am.
No, you both have like that rich, deep, like, hey, get in my belly. What the hell just happened?
This was not good.
You've got to throw in a get in my belly reference.
Yeah, I don't know about that one.
How about a big touchdown pass? Say, keep your money, Dr. Eve, and I will take the baby.
No. Oh, what?
Get in my belly.
We need more Austin Powers references.
Oh, I'm not a big Austin Powers fan.
All right.
But I'm down. Like, I mean, we got to do that this year where you guys pick a phrase and we'll work it in.
I don't know what it was, but
I don't know if we can ever top Wham Bam Can of Ham.
That was really good. That's going to become like a catchphrase for you.
Wham Bam Can of Ham. Holy smokes.
I like that, man. That's going to become a catchphrase. That is a tag. That's something you got to use often.
That was a basketball game.
Get in my belly.
And I had Lance Becker look at me like, what did you just say? I'm like, dude, don't worry about it.
You go.
Wham, bam, can of ham. Holy smokes. All right. There's your good. Let's get to the bad.
Now the bad.
Good, the bad, the ugly right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. All right, so Troy Aikman and Joe Buck calling the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Green Bay Packers game, and they essentially – do we have the audio on this? Lloyd, here's the audio of them essentially talking about the flyover that happens at a lot of stadiums where – military planes fly over the stadium. Here's their comments that were supposed to be off the air.
That's a lot of jet fuel just to do a little flyover.
That's your hard-earned money and your tax dollars at work.
That stuff ain't happening with Kamala Biden ticket. I'll tell you that right now, partner.
Different partner.
Hold on, man. There's something real fishy about that.
All right, so first off,
there's something real fishy about that.
These guys are taking a lot of heat for this. And I went back and I was looking at their Twitter handles or their Twitter history. And, yeah, both of them are getting skewered pretty good because a lot of people took that as a slight against the military. Your tax dollars at work. Well, you dig a little deeper into this, and Jimmy Trania from Sports Illustrated found out that this wasn't them coming back from break thinking they were off the air. This was actually recorded in rehearsal. So this happened not during the live broadcast at all. It happened hours earlier when, you know, they set the scene. And there's a lot of production work and a lot of rejoins and stuff like that that happened before
sound
the game
checks.
Starts. Yeah, exactly. So they make that statement earlier in the day in rehearsal, which means that that was somebody either at Fox, either in the truck or the broadcast studio, recorded that audio and then played it back in the middle of the broadcast. Like somebody out there at Fox, whether it's in the truck or in the booth, or somebody really hates Joe Buck and Troy Aikman because they played that back from way earlier in the day. This wasn't a, you know, just being left your mic open in the middle of a commercial break or anything like that. This was really intentionally done.
Well, I want to play it again, and I want people to listen to it because you can hear it in their voice. That this isn't how two people talk. This isn't me saying to you, man, Scotty, this flyby. Boy, it feels like a real waste of money, doesn't it? And then you saying back to me, there's a use of your tax dollar. Me saying, well, that Kamala Harris and Biden thing. Listen to how they're talking.
That's a lot of jet fuel just to do a little flyover.
That's your hard-earned money and your tax dollars at work.
That stuff ain't happening with Kamala Biden ticket. I'll tell you that right now, partner.
I think they're just having some. They're just joking around.
Absolutely.
It's just. So anyway, Troy Aikman, as far as I know, Joe Buck has not issued any statements on this. Troy Aikman on Twitter said, I love a flyover, but it was odd to see one over a mostly empty stadium. But I am an unwavering patriot that loves this country, has always respected our flag, supported the men and women in the armed forces as well as those in uniform who serve and protect. And for anyone to suggest otherwise doesn't know me, my beliefs, or what I have stood for my entire life. I don't know. It's just unfortunate that this is the kind of thing that gets blown up, and now these guys are getting all kinds of nasty tweets at them.
Yeah. I don't think they deserve it, but much
I mean, you're very sensitive about this kind of thing in the military.
Extremely.
You don't take any huge offense by what you heard.
I'm extremely sensitive to this because anything that starts to feel like any kind of an attack on our military, I get really antsy about it. But I take no offense to this, none, because I think there is a perception out there like that's a lot of money. You know, you do a little bit of research and you realize that every flyover comes with training hours. It's you're either burning that fuel over the top of Roy, Utah, and Gowan Fields, or you're burning that fuel over the top of Lavelle Edwards Stadium.
I love you just made a Gowan Field reference. Obscure Idaho reference for 800, Alex. That is awesome.
Or you're burning that fuel over the top of Lavelle Edwards Stadium. It doesn't matter where you're burning it. You're going to be burning it in training. So I'm really sensitive. No, I don't take any offense to this. Just like I don't take offense to about 95% of things that broadcasters are doing and saying and getting fired for.
Yeah.
Take it the way it's intended. Take it the way it's supposed to be taken. Stop being offended and so ready to fire everybody over everything. Yeah. And I get it. So, you know, each side wants to find a reason to hate the other side. Oh, he said Kamala and Biden. Let's attack him. Everybody, fire Troy Aikman. And it's like, you know, here comes the whole crew to fire Troy Aikman. And it's on the other side. Oh, they talked about Trump and come on, let's fire him. I'm done with all that.
Yeah.
These are two dudes. They're sitting back. Like you said, it's now all out. They're in some type of broadcast moment, and they're like, yeah, that's right. That Kamala Harris and Biden ticket certainly won't do that.
Of course there's going to be flyovers with Biden. And Kamala. I mean, that's just stupid.
I think a lot of it comes down to jealousy.
Yeah.
I think people are jealous to the point of turning green, and it's a way to unseed people, make people that have climbed the highest ladders fall. The people love to see people like Troy Aikman fall.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no. That's what we are as a society. We'd love to see the failures. We'd
love to see Joe Buck get fired. There are so many people that would just love it. Oh, there it is. We finally found out a Joe Buck.
We know who you are now.
You're nothing like your father was. Your father was good. You suck. Glad you're fired. You know, like that's... Yeah. That's where people are coming from nowadays. And it sucks, man. It's hard to be in broadcast.
Well,
you and I talk about this all the time.
And it's funny because you and I talk about this all the time. And David Locke sent out a tweet with that quote that I read. He goes, this is absolutely terrifying as a broadcaster. Like, you could have somebody out there, like, you know, you'd have a bad day and you can bark at, you know, your coworker or something like that. And somebody's rolling on it and like, I don't like that guy. And, oh, I accidentally played it over the air. I'm not sure how that happened.
Oh, I accidentally gave it to TMZ.
And all of a sudden, your life is wrecked.
Yeah.
Or even just your reputation is wrecked. Like, well, this is how he treats people behind the scenes.
And it could be way out of context. Yep. It could be just something where, you know, it's tough. It's tough. Things have felt a lot different in broadcasting for the last 3 years.
Yeah.
Two and a half, 3 years. And you and I do. We talk about it often. I mispronounced something not too long ago, accidentally. And even that, you know, you and I stopped and at the break, we're like, okay, how bad is this going to get? And it was completely innocent and ridiculous. And I felt sick that you and I even had to stop and say, all right, how bad is this going to get? And that's where we're at.
Yeah.
These guys... They don't deserve to. And by the way, I do think this is going to go away.
I do too. I think this was a non-story.
I think this is a non-story about a hot mic.
Yeah.
It's not even a hot mic.
Nope.
These guys were recorded when they didn't know.
Although I hope that they find out whoever rolled on this and tried to play it back. That guy needs a talking to. That's for sure. Because that's a guy out there purposely trying to sabotage the career of somebody else.
Now, I will tell you that if the audio of them was actually an attack on the military, this is not an attack on the military.
No.
If these guys were attacking the military or our police or frontline workers, but it was a full attack,
yeah.
Like something really negative towards them, then I would be upset. But even then, I'd be like, well, how did they get the audio? Where'd it come from? Were they actually talking on a hot mic? Was this during the broadcast? Is this really how they feel? Then I would want those questions. This is such a non... This audio... And it's blowing up.
Yeah, it really is. All right, Hans and Scotty, let's go ahead and get to the ugly.
And, of course, the ugly.
The All-American Bowl, it's an annual all-star event where some of the greatest high school football players ever have competed, will not have a game this year, and it's all because of the Rona. Officials announced on Tuesday they've canceled the event over coronavirus concerns and instead plan on having a showcase where some recruits will announce their college decisions. The quote from the game, due to the environment we find ourselves in and the health and safety of our All-Americans and their families are our first priority. We have made the extremely difficult decision not to play this year's All-American Bowl.
So some really good players actually pulled up the MVP roster. Here's a few from the last couple of years. Vince Young, Chris Leak, Ted Ginn Jr., DeSean Jackson, Terrell Pryor, Taj Boyd, Darius Geis, Joe Mixon. These are all MVPs of this high school All-American Bowl.
Some pretty good players there.
Yeah, some really good players. There's a lot of kids that you know, they get to showcase their talents. And I do think that there's some offers and some opportunities that come through it for some kids to be a part of this All-American Bowl. It's not any skin off my back. It's none off your back. I don't know if it's a big money maker. Is it? Maybe.
Maybe. I don't know. I wouldn't think so, but.
My guess is there are jobs that revolve around it that people are going to be losing some money.
Yeah.
And some opportunities, and that sucks.
Hopefully this is just a one-year thing. They did say, we'll see you back here in San Antonio in 2022. So the hope is that this is just a one-year hiatus, and they can bring it back coming up next year. Greg tweets in, as someone who had a great uncle who was a can of ham, I'm offended by your tagline, and I want you to step down.
Wham, bam, can of ham.
Wham, bam, can of ham. Holy smokes. Greg, I'm sorry if you found that offensive, and I apologize, and I promise to do better.
I really need you to be more thoughtful.
Yeah.
Of that can of ham.
Oh, man, what a world we live in. All right, whole world news coming up next, and we'll transition into the Cougar Preview Show live here at Tim Daly Infinity, 4594 South State Street, right here on the Zone Sports Network.
Joined now by Dennis Dodd. He's a national college football writer for CBS Sports. BYU is 5-0. Given the fact that they had to completely redo their schedule and they're not playing any Power 5s, how do you figure out how good they are?
I think it's tough just because they aren't going to play a Power 5. When it comes down to it, they're going to be compared to an American champion, whoever that is, in the same situation where they may not play a Power 5 as well. I think the takeaway for now should just be that BYU is playing this game. I think this is a great bridge season to greater things next year. And Zach Wilson, obviously, the Heisman candidate. Being a BYU quarterback gives you a leg up anytime. I know the next question is really being considered, and that's what we're going to be considered.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Telling me who you are?
This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G, presented by WCF Insurance. Reminding you to be careful out there on 97.5 1280 The Zone in The Zone Sports Network.
He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got you and me, sister, in his hands. He's got you and me, brother, in his hands. He's got you and me, sister.
Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. It is time for another edition of Whole World News.
All right, Lloyd, if you've got the update sounder back there, please get it ready. And this is actually a pretty serious update on a story that we talked about last week, but it is an update on the 21-year-old Detroit woman who was declared dead. Okay, Scotty, as you remember, the story was this 20-year-old Detroit woman was declared dead. She was taken to the funeral home. She was put in a body bag.
Yeah.
Somebody saw that the chest in the body bag rising. unzipped it, and her eyes were open, and she was alive. Remember, paramedics had worked on her, and people were around her. For 30 minutes, she showed no signs of life, and that is when they pronounced her dead and took her to the funeral home. Well, she was alive, and she had lived for, what was that, about a month ago that we were talking about that?
Yeah, about that.
Well, she just passed away again in Southfield, Michigan.
But did she?
No, she's gone this time. Tamisha Beauchamp is gone this time, for sure.
Dead, not partly dead.
No, all dead. Now, here's the crazy thing. They believe that the cause of death, listen to this, died as a result of massive brain damage that was suffered when Southfield paramedics wrongfully declared her dead and failed to provide her much-needed oxygen.
Yeah.
So the family is asking for
$50 million. Well, and
dollars in a U.S. federal
lawsuit. Like, I don't know. I mean, $50 million seems like a high amount, but I don't know what dollar amount you affix to a life. You know, that's.
I have no issue with $50 million.
I don't either, honestly.
If that's my daughter, and she's declared dead, and a health official tells me, we might have been able to save her if she had gotten oxygen instead of been put in a body bag.
Yeah.
Might have been able to save her.
Yeah, you'd think.
So Scotty, her eyes were open and she was awake. She never really regained health and consciousness since passing away again. So whatever damage occurred in that body bag and in that time where these health and medical officials, I don't know, I guess got it wrong? Thought she was dead?
I'd say that's...
That is what eventually has now caused her death. Wow. The family's owed $50
million. Yeah. Hey, you ready for a little breaking news?
Yes, please.
In the NBA front, the New Orleans Pelicans have got their new head coach.
Right.
Stan Van Gundy.
Sound like Jason Cole over here.
Yeah, that's
not even the better of the Van Gundys. It was Stan.
Yeah, I'd like to see Jeff more than Stan.
Well, for sure. I'm sorry. Did you say Stan?
I did say Stan. Yeah, Stan Van Gundy is the new head coach of the Pelicans.
I wasn't sure if you said Stan.
So Zion gets Stan as his head coach.
He had a couple of good years, didn't he?
Yeah. Jason Cole, NFL writer, on an interview with us. Obviously not overly pleased with one of our questions.
He's had three 59-win seasons, one with Miami, two with Orlando. It was Dwight Howard that got him fired from Orlando.
Oh, yeah,
it?
Yeah.
What got him fired from Detroit? Was it just the 37 and 39 win seasons?
That probably had a lot to do with it. By the way, we should probably reach out to our guy Frank Jackson, who was kind enough to join us, who from the Pelicans, who was on the show a few weeks ago and said that
he
was keeping
coach.
His ear to the ground on the coaching hire.
He's got a new coach. Let's see. The last time that Van Gundy made it past the first round of the NBA playoffs was 2009.
Is that when he took Orlando to the finals?
That is when he took him to the conference finals. The year before that, he took him to the NBA
finals. Okay, so you had NBA finals corner. Okay.
Yeah, went to the NBA finals in 08, conference finals in 09. Hmm. And then first round exits or missing the playoffs from there on out. And then eventually being fired. Has not coached in the league since that 2017 season. The 17-18 season with Detroit. Okay, so let me put you in the shoes of NBA fans in New Orleans right now. Let's say that the Jazz are looking for a new coach. You just had the announcement of Stan Van Gundy coming in to take over. It's kind of like a nice warm blanket, like you're thinking, oh, this is safe.
It's safe. That's it. It's not something that's going to say, wow, let's punch our tickets to the NBA Finals. It's not like, you know, Phil Jackson. But it's a safe pick. You know that you're going to get your guys developed and hopefully play at a higher level, but it just doesn't scream NBA Finals to me.
I will say this based off of what I knew of Quinn Snyder when that announcement was made. the Stan Van Gundy announcement would have actually been a more comforting announcement at the time than Quinn Snyder. But now knowing what I know of Quinn and the path that we've taken and watching all the development and him put together an incredible staff, I look at Quinn, I'm like, oh, I'd much rather have Quinn.
Well, that's why I always lean towards guys that aren't retreads. Because, yeah, it may all end in an ugly, nasty, fiery crash. Or you may hit on somebody that's a rising up-and-comer who's hungry and may be the guy that really gets you back on track to where you need to be. And I could see that. The Pacers hired a guy that, frankly, wasn't on a lot of people's radar yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I've already forgotten his name. That's how well-known he is.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's one team going one direction, and then you've got this team going a different direction.
All right. Just for the sake of conversation, now he goes into New Orleans and he takes over Zion Williamson.
Yes.
Well, working with the superstar big Dwight Howard didn't go so well.
Yeah. That had more to do with Dwight.
Demanding a lot of the personnel, but yeah. Stan demanded a lot.
Yeah, that's why Dwight had a hard time. Dwight's had hard times with people who demand a lot. Kobe, Stan Van Gundy, there's a track record there.
Okay. Now, I don't know how many people have hit Zion in the back of the head and said, hey, son, get it together and get out there and go play. I don't care if your ankle is sore. I don't care if you got a little abdominal stress. Get out there and play. We'll see how Zion handles it. That's how Stan coaches. Yeah. He's old school.
Yep.
Oh, but he learned a lot from Dwight. No, he actually kind of stood his ground and was like, screw it. If you're firing me, fire me. I'm not going to put up with this idiot.
Yeah.
I'm not going to appease him. I at least have that respect for him. He didn't bend and say, well, I guess I'll treat him with kid gloves. Just keep me employed. He don't want to mess with that. So the question is, will Zion Williamson be able to handle the push and the stress of it all?
He needs that, though. And maybe that's why they went with Stan, was that they needed somebody to push him. You can't appease him. You can't treat him with kid gloves anymore. It's time to sink or swim.
Yeah, because I've never – I don't know if I've seen somebody that young with that much potential be treated this kindly and patient and cautious and let's take our time and be careful with him.
It does feel a little bit like Blake Griffin. Remember, Blake missed his whole rookie season.
Yeah.
Because they were taking their time with him.
Yeah, that's right.
Joel Embiid to a certain extent.
Did Simmons miss his?
Simmons, that's why Simmons was a rookie of the year, his second year in the league.
What did he miss his entire – was it an ankle?
I can't remember what the injury was, but, yeah, there's something there.
Yeah, but they sat him for the entire year.
All right, 12:08, running a little late, so we'll kick off your Cougar preview show. Coming up next, Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.